In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Paul says, "It is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am first." And it is a direct quotation from the liturgy of his own time, a direct quotation from the celebration of the divine liturgy from a time before the Gospels even had been written. St. Paul uses these words, "It is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance," whenever he introduces some quotation from the prayers or the liturgy of the Church. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. When God created the world, he created it as a cosmos. The Greek word cosmos means a world of all things that could be in harmony with one another. A harmony that exists because each thing that is fully being what it is. And it is the very fact that all things that have been created are each what they are that makes them fit together into a harmonious whole. That's a cosmos. The heavens, the earth, all of the things of the heavens, the stars, the planets, all of the animals, all of the plant life, all of the whole divine ecology of God's world, and human beings, being what human beings are created to be, fully and completely. And all things are fulfilled in and through one another. That is the kind of world that God created, a cosmos. The opposite of a cosmos is chaos. Chaos is when all things are turned against one another. And the very fact that each thing is what it is becomes the opposite of something else. And there is complete chaos. That's the opposite of cosmos. And so it's a dynamic system. Sometimes they say the cosmos is an orderly and harmonious system. But it's only a system when we look at it and see that everything fits together. It's not a system because it has been made to fit together, the way we would make a machine. It's not a mechanized system, like an internal combustion engine. Everything fits together there too. Otherwise, the engine wouldn't work. Everything has got to function exactly the way it was cast and made to do. All of the valves and all of the pistons, everything has to open and close at the right time. The air and the fuel has to come in at the right point and cause an explosion. And each of those explosions has to take place in the proper order. And so the engine runs and hums and energy is created. That's a mechanical system. But God's world isn't a mechanical system. It's not really a system at all. It's a cosmos. It works because all of the things that God created to be what they are fit together and complement one another. And after God had created the world, after he had created this cosmic universe, he created mankind. Male and female, he created them. Without men and women, you don't have mankind. They complement one another. They fit together, like everything else fits together. But here, you have something new. You have a being that is created in the image and likeness of God. Men and women who have freedom, creativity, the ability to make a difference in the world, the ability to fulfill the meaning of the world. That's our place in the cosmos. It's a central place. Mankind is created to be the heart and the mind of God's cosmos. We are created to give voice to the rest of creation, the world that we are made out of, but we are made in the image and likeness of God. That's how God created the world. So that the harmony and love and life that is God could bring things together from within the heart of God's creation, from within the heart of human beings. The alternative would be for God to impose order and harmony. That's domination. And our God is not a dominating God. He is a God of dominion. Dominion is what you have when the order and the harmony come from within. Come from within God's creation, within His cosmos, and centrally from within mankind. That's how God created the world. But Lucifer, an angel created by God, wanted power. He wanted to control the world and be the one at the top, ordering things according to his will. He has will. We human beings have will. We can use our will to bring things together, or we can use our will to try to dominate things and make things the way we want them to be. And Lucifer is the one who did this first. He wanted to order the world according to his own desires. And he taught this missing of the mark, this sinning against the nature of creation, both seen and unseen, the unseen creation, the angelic world, against the nature of the whole creation, against the nature of himself, and against the nature of mankind, this missing of the mark. He taught this, how to sin, to Adam and Eve. And the cosmos that God had created was no longer in harmony. The result was death. If we were talking about a mechanical system like an engine, it would be throwing some foreign part into the works. And all of a sudden, the engine starts to break itself up and destroys itself, and it's broken. That's what happened when Adam and Eve followed Satan and began to be inwardly like him instead of like God. It broke creation. Death, we say, came into the world. But remember, God's creation, the cosmos, it's not a machine. It's not just broken so that it needs to be fixed the way a machine could be fixed. There is the sickness of death in it, and there is the sickness of suffering in it. It needs to be healed. It needs healing. And that's why God came into the world, in order to heal the world, in order to heal the world of the consequences of sin, the consequences of our turning against God's dominion from within the world and from within us. Christ came into the world in order to heal sinners, in order to save them from living in a world where things around us are like a machine, are like a mechanism, grinding us up. Cause and effect, impersonal. People being impersonal with one another, acting in selfish hatred of one another, rather than fulfilling and complementing one another, rather than comforting one another, rather than offering the salvation of comfort to one another. God came into the world in order to do this for us. In the book of the Gospel according to St. Luke, we heard today about how one day Jesus Christ was passing by, and there was a man who needed healing. He was blind, and he was calling out to Jesus, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Son of David, it means the Messiah. Jesus, Messiah, Son of David, Son of God, have mercy on me. We say, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner." That's where the Jesus prayer comes from. That and a couple of other quotations elsewhere in the scripture. But that's one of the main places. And what is this man asking for? "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." People tell him to be quiet. Leave the teacher alone. Please, be quiet. He's making a noise in the middle of the crowd. But he won't be quiet. He repeats over and over and over and over again, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Just the way we repeat the Jesus prayer. Repetition. Constantly calling out to God. And Jesus stops. He hears the man. And he asks, "What do you want of me?" He says, "Lord, my sight." And Jesus heals him. He gives him what he needs in order to be whole, in order to be complete, in order to fully live life. That's why we ask God's mercy. We are asking for something from him that only he can give, a healing that can only come from God. Saw something on the internet that, you know, constant source of inspiration about the Jesus prayer the other day. And somebody said, "Jesus prayer has always seemed repetitious to me." I thought, yeah, Jesus prayer is repetitious. Constant prayer, you know. We live in time and space, and if it's going to be constant, it has to be repeated. We have to keep asking, like the man asking for his sight. "Lord God, give me life. Give me life in this world that is sick, where there is the presence of suffering and death. Pour out your mercy upon me." What are we asking for when we ask God for mercy? We do it constantly. In the Divine Liturgy, we do it three times. "Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy." We do it 12 times. We repeat it a lot. Why do we ask so often? And what are we asking for when we ask for God's mercy? If you ask a judge to be merciful, your idea is that he won't punish you so harshly. Is that what we're asking for? It's not. It's not what we're asking for when we say, "Lord, have mercy." It's not what we're asking for when we pray the Jesus prayer, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner." In Greek, the words for "Lord, have mercy" are kyria eleison. Kyria eleison, kyria eleison, kyria eleison. Eleison. What does eleison mean? There's no reference to punishment. Eleison is a reference to oil. We are asking for much oil. That's what eleison means. Pour much oil upon me. Pour the oil of your grace upon us. Give us your life. Pour your life out upon us as the oil that we need in order to burn with a holy flame. Every one of these lampadas is filled with oil. The oil burns and provides light and a flame. We need the divine light of God. We need to be the presence of the divine light of God in the world. And in order to be able to do that, we have to have the divine oil that is the fuel. We need to have God's own life as part of ourselves. We need to have God pour out His life, pour out His oil upon us. That's what we're asking for. And that's what we ask for it so constantly. Because we have to ask for it constantly in the kind of world that we live in. We're no longer in the garden where it just comes naturally. The natural order of things has been interrupted. We are not in effortless communion with God as we were created in the beginning. Now our communion with God has to come as the result of our asking God to pour Himself out upon us. And that is why we have the need for constant prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, pour out upon me the grace that is your oil of gladness, your oil of light, without which I cannot burn in the world as your presence. That's what we're asking for. Lord, have mercy. And we ask it so that we can be the presence of healing and light and life to others. To be a Christian is to be burning with the oil of gladness to enlighten others, to heal them with God's grace, His love. You know, we almost automatically, when we say grace, we think of some kind of legal model. But grace is the oil of God's mercy, compassion, and love poured out on us so that we can burn with the same life that is God's life itself. To be a Christian is to be the light of the world. How? By having our life be aflame with the oil of gladness that God pours out upon the world. That's what we're praying for. Oftentimes we are not the presence of comfort to others. Sometimes we are like nettles to others. Sometimes we're like nettles to ourselves, inside ourselves. And we suffer a kind of, it's almost like a brush burn. You know, I mean, if you've ever brushed against nettles as you walk in a field, they burn, they sting. And we do that to each other. And if someone has had that happen to them, they need oil to salve that terrible feeling that we are in a world where others simply hurt us, to take away the pain, where the presence of others is painful to us. As Christians, we are all called to pour out the oil of God's healing upon others. We were created to be the presence of God in the world and the voice of the world to God, praising Him on behalf of all things. That is the nature of prayer. As the heart of creation, human beings give voice to all the rest of creation, and we are able to raise up to God the voice of prayer and call for Him to pour out the oil of gladness upon us all, upon all creation. Jesus Christ came into the world in order to save us. That means in order to make us able to live as we were just talking about living. That is salvation. To live that kind of meaningful life, daily in the presence of others, to be His presence among others. Saint Seraphim says that if we gain that, thousands around us will be saved. Because we will be the presence of Christ to others. It's not that I will be the presence of Christ to others. It's that I will fit into the place that God has made for me as a particular human being in the cosmos that He created. The things that we do, the way we interact with one another, it matters, it makes a cosmic difference. Each one of us has a place in God's world as it is meant to be, and as He has healed it to be, and as He has revealed it to be, and as He has made it to be. Every moment of the day, there is a meaningful thing for us to do in our encounter with others. And ironically, at each moment of the day, we are faced with that same choice that Adam and Eve were faced with in the garden. Are we going to play the role that God created us to play, Or are we going to try to dominate rather than fitting into God's dominion and passing on the love and the comfort that He pours out on us upon others who need the presence of Christ? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.